Yes. Good Monday, one and all. Hopefully everyone out there had themselves a lovely weekend. We're coming to you live from the Rocky Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocky Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. You've got Mike Pete across the way, other side at the controls. 9 a.m. Eastern time, we go to next 3 hours with you. Right here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
Your number to call. What's going on, Taz? How you doing, bud?
Good, Moose. Good, girl. Hope all's well with you. Looking forward to another Monday edition of Taz and Moose. Chock full of all your NFL needs, right?
Yeah. No, everything's good. Everything's good, hopefully, for you as well. Yes. And a lot to get into across the NFL landscape. We'll touch upon college football. A little bit of Michigan a little later on in the program as well, as they got absolutely run over out of Camp Randall by the Wisconsin Badgers for Jim Harbaugh, as he had an interesting presser after that game. But certainly, you know, young quarterbacks, you know, grabbed the headlines yesterday across the National Football League. And I think the biggest star of the day had to be with the New York Football Giants, as Daniel Jones had himself a day coming back from 18 down in Tampa Bay against the Buccaneers, leading them on a scramble on a fourth down, fourth and five at the 7 yard line. Scrambles right up the middle as the Buccaneers defense parted ways like the Red Sea. Scrambled up the middle for the go ahead touchdown. They get the field goal miss, the chip shot field goal miss late by Gay for the Buccaneers. As the Bucs blow a huge lead, the Giants have a huge comeback victory. And Daniel Jones is now a huge star in New York and in the National Football League. Take it over for Eli Manning.
Oh, it was something. I mean, it was definitely. I mean, I was locked in, and I have no dog in the fight. I'm not a Bucs fan. I'm not a Giants fan. But you know, I wanted to see, just like everybody else, every other football fan wanted to see what this kid was all about. And you know, here he is coming in to take over for a legend who got benched. And man, the energy that this kid Jones brought to the table was just unbelievable. It was like you would hope. It was almost like written away. It wasn't perfection, but man, it was it was written well. I mean, it was perfect. The kid threw for over 330 yards. I mean, he protected the football, 2 touchdowns. I mean, really, it just was. But the energy, Moose, the energy that he brought to that offense was sparked. You know, it jumped off the TV for me.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at the throws and the athleticism that he was able to hit guys and throw them with anticipation. Something I mentioned last week that Charlie Casserly from the NFL Network broke down on game film talked about the course of the preseason that you kind of admired about the young signal caller. Did that look calm, cool, collected? You mentioned the energy, the ability to scramble and lengthen out plays, something that Pat Shurmur pointed out after they lost to the Buffalo Bills the week before at home at MetLife Stadium, kind of a sign of the times in the National Football League, having a quarterback that can use his legs to extend plays when the plays initially break down or the pocket breaks down. And you saw that a number of times on the initial touchdown where he scrambled and ran it in, on the last touchdown by the Giants where he ran up the middle for fourth down, a number of times through being able to throw on the run, throwing and having pinpoint accuracy as well. There's a lot to like about Daniel Jones. There really is. And the team seemed to feed off of him. And, you know, you give him credit first and foremost. And, you know, the Giants made the switch for a number of different reasons. And Pat Shurmur made it perfectly clear. He felt that, you know, at this stage, Daniel Jones gave this team the best opportunity to win. And you saw that yesterday against a Buccaneer defense. Then the second half got absolutely torn apart.
Right. And you know, I really think, like, with Daniel Jones, he showed yesterday what I saw out of him, in my opinion, 3 things that you really can't coach in no particular order, and that's instincts, toughness, and poise. And his poise was, you know, there was many times the pocket was collapsing, and guys were all over him, and you know, Bulls, you know, sparked up that defense, that Buccaneer defense. They were coming. And this kid, Daniel Jones, he just kept his poise, man. He kept his poise. He took a lot of hits, but man, he's a tough kid. He's a lot tougher than he looks. He doesn't look like a tough kid. He looks like a mild-mannered 4.0 GPA kid out of Duke. That's what he looks like. I mean, clean-cut Jones, right? But man, he really is. He took some whacks and just was, He was unflappable.
I mean, he was great. He was unflappable. Was great. And to do it without Saquon Barkley, who left the game with a high ankle sprain, and you saw him hobbling to the being helped to the Giant locker room toward the tail end of the first half, and then was in a walking boot at the end of the game and hopping off the field after the Giants won it. You know, to be able to do that and have that kind of a comeback without the threat of Saquon Barkley on the field says a lot, too, because it just adds more of onus and pressure on the quarterback to be able to perform. And, you know, there's a lot to like about what you saw yesterday. You don't want to put the cart before the horse and all of a sudden say there's superstardom on the way. And, you know, but the Giants certainly, you know, the first step, he looked the part over the course of the preseason, his first start in the National Football League. He certainly looked the part. It was an epic comeback victory down in Tampa Bay. He's got to hold on to the football when he gets hit, though. That's the one thing that I would point to that he's got to work on, which was an issue in the preseason, was an issue down in Dallas, was an issue on one occasion yesterday when he put the ball on the turf when he gets hit. But aside from that, there's nothing not to like. You mentioned the demeanor. You know, went into the, you know, the huddle at one point in time, kind of his teammates never heard him curse before. Basically, when they were down early, said, let's blanky go get a touchdown. Let's score here. When the final drive, he said, let's go win this game. You know, had the, you know, he had the command of that huddle and the respect of that team. And certainly it was an epic comeback victory for the Giants in a season, in a game in which they probably salvaged their season.
Yeah, I think you're right about that for sure. I mean, and it's just, I mean, for Giants fans, it's just, and here, you know, for those all over the country, you know, where we're obviously based in New York, and we have, a lot, as far as football goes, a lot of Jets and Giants fans that we work with here, you know, behind the scenes and stuff like that, on all the shows here at the station. And so many of these Giants fans, and I get it, I'm happy for them, because they're like, hey, you know, there's life here, there's light at the end of the tunnel. We have ourselves a signal caller, we have ourselves a leader of our offense. And it's almost like, man, you know, it's Eli Manning is totally in the background. And I think you got to tip your cap to Eli, too. It was several times, and Fox did a good job capturing the moment where Eli, throughout the game, several times during the game, I should say, that I spotted it, was he was talking to Daniel Jones and coaching him up and helping him. And I tell you, that's got to be really, really hard for Eli. That's got to be, you know, that's you're literally passing the torch. I know it sounds great. It sounds like a great Hallmark movie. Wow, the great quarterback, the legend, all the stuff he's done great. He's passing the torch to the young man. Man, that's not the way it works. These guys are ultra competitive. But he did that. Eli did that, and was whatever advice he was given, you know, Daniel Jones, it obviously helped. But, yeah, it's so I think that's a good story. I mean, you know, we'll see what happens with Eli. I mean, but he felt a little bad for him, you know, because he is on the sideline with IFB in his ear and earpiece in his ear. And a baseball cap on and just watching. You know, it's like you're not used to seeing that. You know, it's just, you know, that's you know, if you watch Giant football, you know, you never see Eli on the sideline.
Yeah,
like that.
They're probably not winning that game with Eli at quarterback.
No.
You know, and Daniel Jones certainly starred, and that Buccaneer defense did give it up. And they catch a huge break, even if they lost the game. You know, and I get the idea of no moral victories, but even if they lost the game, the star of the game still would have been Daniel Jones and what he was able to do and taking control of that organization, which is difficult to do for a guy that had, you know, won two Super Bowls. I mean, that, you know, and Daniel Jones in one start kind of changes that storyline. So you feel really good for him. I was a little uncomfortable here in the barbers in the broadcast booth talking about Daniel Jones starring and the fact that he looked better in his first start than Eli Manning did in his first start. I mean, that was a little tough to take from Tiki Aronde. And then they kind of covered it up a little bit by talking about, and Tiki, that is, talking about how great of a teammate Eli was and that all he is about team and that he is the ultimate team guy. I mean, not every situation is a little bit different. Not every quarterback's going to look as good as Daniel Jones. But I'll tell you, if you get two Super Bowls out of Daniel Jones in the next 10, 12 years, I mean, you're going to sign on the dotted line if you are the New York Giants. To me, that was a little tough. But aside from that, from Jones on the football field, he was as...
I don't remember the comments about a bar. I know the barbers were in the booth. Yeah. I was listening, but I don't remember.
Yeah, no, they did. They did. It was toward the, I would say, toward the start of... It was when he started to get hot in the third quarter.
That was
a little tough to take. But aside from that, listen, I look at what Daniel Jones yesterday did, and there's nothing not to like. There's nothing right. to be excited about. And when you start a young quarterback in the National Football League, it fills your fan base with hope. And just like the Brown fan base was yet last year with Baker Mayfield, maybe the Redskin fan base will be at one point in time with Dwayne Haskins. You look at what the Giant fan base is feeling right now, and they're hopeful about what this guy potentially could be at the quarterback spot, and the initial diagnosis is brilliance.
Yeah, and look, the Giants took a lot of flack, you know, in the front office there, you know, Gettleman, Sherman, those guys, I mean, you know, they took a lot of flack when this happened, when they picked this kid out of Duke in the draft as early as they did. And there was a lot of like, what? And Giant fans like, what the hell are you doing? You know, you're taking this kid, Daniel Jones, and they obviously saw something. And what they saw works for their system, schematically works for them. Yeah, I mean, for those that are wondering, well, why is, if you're not a Giant fan or maybe you don't live in a tri-state area, and you're saying, what the heck is the big deal about, okay, fine, a rookie came in and he played so good. No, it's a really big deal. He came in and stepped in and they benched a legendary player for him. And I don't, if that's an overstatement, stop me. I mean, I think Eli Manning is a legendary player. I mean, he's all-time passing yards and top 10. He's, you know, Super Bowl. I mean, everything. I don't know much more he can have done. So to show you how big it is, though, I mean, you mentioned a moment ago Barkley getting injured with that high ankle. I thought he blew his knee out. When he got hit, the way he got hit, when he shot in full live speed before they broke it down slow, and it was nice to have Tiki in the booth explain it as a guy who's played that position in that Giant helmet for years and was great. But it was his ankle. I thought it was his knee at first. But anyway, my point was, to show you how big this moment is of what Daniel Jones did here yesterday and how well he played, it's almost like, I don't want to say we as a people who cover sports are ignoring Barkley got injured, but it's, imagine if Eli was the quarterback, just system the status quo, and then this kid Barkley would have got hurt. It would have been like, oh my God, the sky would have been falling. Everybody would have been making a big deal out of it. But it's almost like, yeah, no, Daniel Jones played great. By the way, Barkley got hurt too. Oh wow, I guess I'll be okay. Man, that Daniel Jones was unbelievable. I don't know, I just think it's funny, you know, because it outshined everything, you know, that this kid played really well.
No, it certainly did. And, you know, the criticism that the Giants took in taking Jones, I think it was not only the player, but it was also the game plan. Why pay Eli that you're going to pay him and you're going to draft a quarterback sixth overall and then transition as quickly as they did from Eli Manning? I think that's where the Giants got hit with a little bit of a crossroads as a franchise. If you're going to tear it down and rip it down, then tear it down and rip it down all the way. Don't split the baby and do it in the style and fashion in which they did. But, I mean, at the end, they got where they needed to get to. And what they needed to get to was they needed to transition away from an older quarterback whose skill sets was no longer what it once was and was getting worse by the year, who was obviously up there in age. And then we can get into the debate of what the Giants did for Eli and what they didn't do for Eli in the last 6 or 7 years. They're paying him now kind of as a going away parting gift. But this is Daniel Jones's franchise, and they loved him coming out of Duke. They drafted him sixth overall. Reportedly, Denver loved him. Washington loved him. They didn't think he'd be sitting there with the 17th overall pick. And, you know, for Dave Gettleman, who has not exactly been the most truthful general manager, you know, he's going to be billed. He's going to be hailed as a conquering hero with the draft choices of Barkley and Jones if what we saw yesterday from Daniel Jones is a sign of things to come. It's only one game.
Yeah.
He looked the part in one game. But if this is the kind of quarterback the Giants are going to have for the next 10, 12, 13 years, as long as he's able to stay healthy, Taz, you know, Dave Gettleman's going to be hailed as a heroic general manager for what he was able to do.
And I think you almost have to feel and say that in regards to him, because look, you have a young back. I said this last week here on the show. I mean, with Daniel Jones and Barkley in that backfield, and a guy like Evan Engram, you know, catching balls, or Shepard. I mean, you've got some weapons now. This is a team who, you know, I mean, Beckham is off the team. I mean, this is one of the biggest, best wide receivers in the game, and he's not there anymore. And Eli was an old man under center and all this stuff, but yet, you know, they found a way to win yesterday on the road. Daniel Jones, young kid, never started a regular season game, goes on the road against a tough defense with a really good DC, and manages to win the game 32-31. Very impressive.
Yeah, very. And then you get the late field goal miss by Gay, where Bruce Arians takes the 5-yard penalty at the end of the game. Oh. And trying to rationalize and explain that one out, which made little to no sense whatsoever. but he took the five-yard penalty nonetheless. So a disastrous loss for Tampa Bay. The Giants have got themselves a new star quarterback in Daniel Jones, and we have just begun here on this Monday morning. It's Taz and the Moose as we whip around the National Football League. The Sunday that was week three in the NFL right here on CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. And the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico, go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. Do more, brought to you by the Home Depot. Visit homedepot.com for details and flooring, appliances, and bathroom home improvements. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. How about Dalvin Cook? He's doing more. Cook surpassed 100 yards on the ground for third straight week as the Vikings ran past the Raiders 34-14 out in Minnesota under the dome. 855-212-4227 is your number to call. We'll get to your calls. We'll get also to the Cleveland Browns, LA Rams, the Sunday night game last night. The struggles for the Browns and do continue. Certainly, we kicked off the program talking about the extolling the virtues of the young signal caller, Daniel Jones. Brad Heller is in the house. Good morning, Brad.
What's up, guys?
Brad, what's up, buddy?
In for Bogus this morning.
Yeah, Bogus, a little day off. Good to be with you guys.
Good to see you, man. And you're in our football pool.
I am. What an honor to be invited to be part of that. My team stinks, but
yeah, a lot of
it's brutal.
You're not the only one.
Yeah,
you're not the only one, buddy. You know what I mean?
Stinks.
It's great to see you.
Yeah.
What's going on, brother?
All right, you mentioned it. We'll start Sunday Night Football. Jared Goff and Cooper Kupp hooked up for a couple of touchdowns. Rams held off the Browns in Cleveland 20-13. Baker Mayfield was picked off in the end zone. Fourth and goal at the 5 to seal it. The Rams get to 3-0. The Browns are 1-2. How about Giants rookie Daniel Jones, his first NFL start coming in Tampa? Giants were down 18 at halftime.
Jones takes the snap, back to throw, steps up, he's going to run. Jones to the 5, touchdown Giants! Daniel Jones on a 7-yard run on a 4th and 5 from the 7, and the Giants have tied it up with 1:16 to go.
Bob Papa, WFAN Giants Radio Network on the call. Second touchdown run for Jones. He also had 2 touchdown passes. The extra point was the difference. Giants beat the Bucs 32-31. Matt Gay missing a field goal for Tampa as time expired. Saquon Barkley hurt and late in the first half. Reportedly a high ankle sprain. He's going to have an MRI today. Patrick Mahomes was missing his top wideout and Tyreek Hill missing his starting running back and Damien Williams, but it still didn't matter against the Ravens.
Mahomes, 1st and 10 from his own 17. Long, he's got Hardman wide open, 50, 40-foot race, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Kansas City as Hardman slings the ball into the section behind the goalpost. An 83-yard touchdown strike by the NFL MVP. Ooh.
Mitch Holthus with the call, Chiefs Radio Network. What'd you say?
I said microphone on.
There you go. It's early,
but it, yes, it is.
3 touchdown passes for Mahomes. He threw for 374. Chiefs winning the battle of the unbeatens, 33-28 over the Ravens in Kansas City. Also 3-0, the Cowboys, the Patriots, the Packers, the Niners, and the Bills. San Fran overcoming 5 turnovers to beat the Steelers 24-20. Pittsburgh is 0-3. Teddy Bridgewater filled in just fine for Drew Brees.
2nd down and 10. Bridgewater in the gun. Takes a snap. Kamara at the 30. The 25 blockers in front. The 20. The 15 bounces off another. The 10. The 5. He walks into the end zone. Touchdown, Alvin Kamara. 29 yards.
Zach Strief, Saints Radio. One of 2 touchdown passes for Bridgewater. Saints over the Seahawks in Seattle. 33-27. Kyle Allen, 4 touchdown passes filling in for Cam Newton. Panthers over the Cardinals, 38-20. Baseball, the Astros clinched the AL West. Third year in a row, they beat the Angels 13-5. 3 homers for George Springer. The Cardinals clinching a playoff berth as they swept the Cubs 3-2. Cardinals up by 3 games on the Brewers in the NL Central. Milwaukee and Washington, a virtual tie for the 2 NL wild card spots. The Cubs are four games behind as they've lost six in a row. The AL wildcard race looks like this. The A's have a two-game lead for the top spot. The Rays and the Indians are tied for the second spot. Gentlemen.
Thanks, Brad.
Thank you, Brad. Appreciate it. How was the Mets this year, all right?
Great.
Yeah, how many games did you do?
I did about a quarter of the schedule.
You did 40-plus games?
Yeah, about 43, I think.
Really?
43 is the number.
Were you surprised that they rallied the way that they did in the second half?
Yeah, I mean, I was on that first road trip out of the All-Star break. They lost the first game in Miami and were 11 games under 500. 11 games under. Mm. And to think of the turnaround now, it's pretty remarkable. I mean, and they need a lot to happen and probably have to win every game the rest of the way to even have a chance. But to be in this conference, to be in this position is... It's pretty incredible.
Oh, it really is.
As a Met fan, it was great to have you part of what they were doing. Okay, Brad?
There you go.
I'd like to think I had a lot to do with it.
You're a good luck chum.
You know, I'd like to think I had a lot to do with it.
To be 11 under at one point in time a rally, do you think they get to next weekend with a miraculous hope or no?
I mean, the good news is they have the Marlins for four. You know, the problem is the Brewers have been just beaten up. Beat up on the Pirates. They play the Reds now, so... Mm. Hard to see it. I mean, if they can sweep the Marlins in four and then go into that last series with the Braves, who will probably have nothing to play for at that point.
Yeah, maybe they got a shot.
Maybe. It'd be fun, wouldn't it?
You know,
it'd be
great.
Final weekend series with a chance, but if they lose once against Miami, it's probably over.
It'd be tough. Yeah. Well, good stuff, Brad.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it, buddy.
855-212-4227, your number to call.
Let's go down to Houston, talk to Heath. Listen on 610 AM. Heath, what's up?
Hey, Taz. Hey, Moose. How's it going, guys?
What's going on, Heath? How you doing, buddy?
Good, good. So I'm obviously a Texans fan. There's a couple things that I was quite impressed with the Texans' win yesterday. I'm not a Bill O'Brien fan, but I'm happy with the changes he made coming out of the second half after going into the half down by two scores. Obviously, the changes that they made, they came back and won against Phillip Rivers.
Right.
I think the O-line played really well. I think as a result of the O-line playing really well, all their passing touchdowns were to tight ends. Plus, also, Phillip Rivers was actually sacked more than Deshaun Watson, I think as a result of the O-line play. So, overall, I think I was really impressed with the Texans' win over the Chargers.
Well, Heath, I got to say, you know, you make a great point about Coach O'Brien. Of course, him and his staff, they obviously made some big adjustments at halftime. I think the Texans put up something like 14 points or so in the third quarter, and the Chargers put up zero. So, I mean, you know, that right there put them right back in the game. And then, as you said, eventually they win the game 27-20. So, yeah, very impressive for sure.
Yeah, and if you think about it, if it weren't for one bad Romeo Crennel defensive play against the Saints, that last play where they were able to kick the field goal, the Texans would actually be sitting 3-0 right now.
Yeah, they would be. I mean, Heath, you also, I mean, you have to give the brilliance of Deshaun Watson, who continues to take hits. I mean, he threw 9 incompletions yesterday, threw for well over 300 yards, nearly, I think, a tad over 350. And the 3 touchdowns. You mentioned making use of the tight end position, but you know, Watson has shown you remarkable toughness. And it's no doubt, I give the defense a lot of credit for what they were able to do with Justin, only giving up 3 points in that second half, to be able to rally against the Los Angeles Chargers and give the offense an opportunity. But I mean, Watson is such a stud at the quarterback spot. He really is. And you saw that yesterday in his ability to make plays on the run, on the move, when he has to break containment, move outside the pocket. You saw that on a number of different occasions yesterday. I mean, he is so good.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he's definitely not a Ben Roethlisberger side by any stretch, right? But his, considering he's the most sacked quarterback last year, his durability has been amazing.
And he protected the football yesterday, which is great. Heath, we appreciate the call. You know, and he had 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. You know, and really, you know, so like you said, Moosey,
they only had 39 yards on the ground.
Right.
I mean, they had no ground
just
game.
All in the air.
Yeah, I mean, it was to win a game on the road in the National Football League, and maybe it's just what it is in today's day and age, where you run the ball 19 times and you don't even get to the 40-yard mark, Taz, and you win that football game. I mean, that's an impressive win.
Yeah.
It's something that they've got to clean up moving forward because you know Bill O'Brien's going to want to be able to run the football at some point in time. And, you know, the injury to Lamar Miller and tearing his ACL over the course of the preseason certainly hurts. But, you know, Hyde led him in rushing yesterday. I think he had 19 yards on the ground on 10 attempts.
Yeah.
I mean, that is it. So Watson was brilliant, no doubt. I thought it was an interesting game. We talked about that last week, Taz, on Friday, in terms of the intriguing matchups. For the Chargers then to have the kind of lead they had at home and to blow it against Houston, and Houston have a comeback that they did, that's an impressive win by the Texans.
No, I totally agree. And I think Heath, the caller we just had here on the show, we appreciate the call, Heath, but he did make a really good point about the coaching. And you see that a lot. In the Bills game, I saw that happen where the Bengals made some adjustments at halftime and changed some things around. I mean, that's what good coaching staffs do. And most of these staffs at the NFL level, they're the elite. But we did see that with the Texans as far as a good coaching job at halftime to change the tide a little bit against the Chargers and inevitably win the game 27-20.
Yeah, they were able to come back in the Sunday night affair last night. It was kind of an ugly game at times by the Browns, who are the most penalized team in the National Football League. And that was a theme early on the NBC broadcast with Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth as you saw the sidelines. And the Rams go on the road. They're a better football team. I think they're a better coach team. They end up coming away with the 20-13 victory over the Cleveland Browns, Taz. And I look at the game from a Brown perspective, and Mayfield struggled throwing the football. The offensive line at times struggled in terms of pass protection as well. Now it's a Brown team that isn't completely healthy and whole. I get it, but that Ram team did a great job defensively of slowing down and shutting down at times Odell Beckham Jr. Landry had himself a game catching the football. But the Browns, through the first 3 weeks of this season, a lot of people were speculating, you and I were both on the bandwagon before the start of the year, that might be a little bit, wait till you build this team up, coming off last year, in which they were an absolute exciting watch. And for the most part, they've been a disappointment. Even at being at 1-2, they have been a disappointment here through the first 3 weeks.
Yeah, no argument for me on that. I completely agree with your breakdown and your statement. I didn't expect this. I really didn't expect this. You have all of these weapons. I mean, I know Njoku's out hurt, the tight end. I know that. But Landry's healthy. Beckham's healthy. Chubb is running the rock. Mayfield's Mr. Swagger. You got Myles Garrett is one of the better edge rushers in the game. You got a good defense. Offensive line, to your point, a little sketchy. And I got to say, coaching-wise, I mean, Kitchens or the OC, whoever it was, I mean, I was talking to Mikey B, our producer, before the show. I mean, it was 4th and 9. 4th and 9 late in the game. It was middle of the fourth quarter, and it's 17-13, Rams winning the game, and they run a draw to Chubb. I mean, 4th and 9, you run a little draw, and he got shut down, and now you turn the ball over at home. It's a horrible call, and I'm not one of these guys that believes one call makes a game, but that was an important moment in the game. And then if you fast forward to the end of the game, I mean, they had 4 opportunities, Moose. Mayfield had 4 opportunities in the red zone, probably on the 5-yard line, to score a touchdown, and they couldn't. And they lost the game. I mean, that's how it ended, basically.
You're right. It did. It ends on the interception by Johnson for the Rams.
I'm saying they're in the red zone on the 4
correct.
Attempts.
Yeah.
That's my
point. Right. Right. Yeah. No, I get it. Yeah. I mean, the game ends on the pick by the Rams, but and they did have for the 4 attempts, and they were at the Rams 4-yard line inside the 5 with a goal to go opportunity. Taz, and you're right. They could not punch it in. The Rams are a good defense, though. They've got players on that defense at every single level, in the secondary, linebacker, and defensive line. I guess I look at the Browns, and I'm not surprised by the Rams winning that game. I think they're the better team. I thought they'd win the game going into the game last night. I guess I am disappointed by the development or lack thereof of Mayfield year 1 to year 2. I think they've changed things up of what they've done offensively in terms of their sets, and they haven't gone really. And without Njoku, that does hurt. I get it. But, they were able to establish the run a year ago and then throw off the run. They've kind of gone away from that, trying to keep everybody happy, like Beckham and Landry and the like. And I don't know if that's necessarily played to the best of the Cleveland Browns and the best of their young quarterback in Mayfield. And the sloppiness that this team has shown. The false starts that he got consistently last night over the course of the game, Taz, they just played really sloppy football.
Yeah.
They had 18 penalties week 1 against the Tennessee Titans. I thought by this point in time that they would change, it would get cleaned up, and it really hasn't. And I don't know if it necessarily is. Maybe it's just indicative of the coaching staff. Maybe it's just an indictment of them. It certainly falls on the players as well, but when you're as penalized as they are, maybe it's not being emphasized as much as it needs to be, or maybe that message is not getting across.
Yeah, maybe. I do think, you know, and you're right. I mean, I should have mentioned that when I mentioned that red zone deal. The defense of the Browns is excellent, no doubt. I have them in our fantasy league. I have them as my defense, and we've known last year how great that Rams defense is. But you're right about the sloppiness of the offense and, like, the undisciplined deal, and Mayfield just his decision-making. He's in year two here. He's got all the hype in the world. He's Mr. Cocky, Mr. Confidence. Again, just to go back to those four plays with like 40 seconds left in the game, I don't know where he was throwing the ball.
Yeah.
He's throwing the ball 10 feet over guys' heads. It looked like there was the defensive line rush was great, but there was one, I think, second down. There was it looked like a screen to the right they were trying to set up. It was horribly done, and he rushed the ball out. I mean, it looked like this was his first time playing an NFL game.
Mm-hmm.
It really did. I mean, I wasn't impressed with Mayfield at all yesterday, or the Browns in general. I mean, Mayfield, I'm looking at his numbers right here. He was 18 of 36, 195 yards yesterday. One interception, one touchdown.
Yeah, yeah. Not great.
No.
Not great in any way, shape, or form when you've got a 50% completion percentage. When you've got a 50% completion percentage in the National Football League, not good at all.
No.
But the Rams... You know, it might not have been the prettiest performance by the Rams, but they're 3-0 nonetheless. And they did what they needed to do to get a road victory in a tough environment in Cleveland last night, Taz. And the Browns have got a lot of things to work on, as do the Rams in certain aspects as well. But you'd like to work on those things coming off a victory. I thought the Rams last night showed you they were a better coach. I thought they were a little bit better prepared. And certainly their quarterback was just a tad better than Mayfield. And they come away with the win.
Yep, big win.
I want to hear from you at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4CBS. The New Orleans Saints on the road in Seattle get a big victory. Run around the National Football League. Want to hear from you, your team. What did they do week three in the NFL? Your reaction, 855-212-4227. Taz Moose on a Monday morning right here, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, time right now to ask the pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Submit your question by listening. Be listening later on the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service. Where? At O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every single day.
Moose's been talking a lot about the NFL. Obviously, big NFL Sunday yesterday. Let's go down to South Carolina. Talk to Matt, listening on 100.3 FM. Hey, Matt, you're on with... what's going on here? That's just not working. Hold on, Matt. We got you. There we go. Matt, what's going on? We're on with Taz and the Moose. How's it going?
What's going on, guys?
What's up, Matt? What's
I just
on,
wanted
buddy?
To talk about the Panthers this morning. Kyle Allen came out and put on a great show for his hometown crowd.
That was great.
And... Yep. The question that it brings up for me is, after he comes out and shows out like that, do you bench Cam for the season for a few games, give him a chance to show that he can do it consistently, give Cam a chance to get fully healthy, no excuses when he comes back, if he comes back? What do y'all guys think?
You want to go first?
No, go ahead, Dad.
My opinion is, I think that, I mean, it depends when he comes back, but and how this kid Kyle Allen keeps doing, because he was spectacular yesterday. I do think that it's still Cam Newton's team. I don't think you could just take somebody, even though this kid did great. He had four touchdowns and stuff like that, but it's still Cam's team. All the greatness Cam Newton brought to that franchise, I think it'd be a little tough to just say, all right, after a couple of really good games, it's not your team anymore, Cam. Or we have a quarterback battle. So, Moose, I don't know your thoughts, but...
Yeah, I mean, Matt, I think you... I look at it, I think you got to do right by your team and everybody on that team. And Newton has not been healthy for quite some time. He looked awful the first couple of weeks throwing the football. If he is healthy and he's over that foot sprain, which he re-aggravated in week two, then Cam Newton's going to get an opportunity to play once again. But he's got to play well. And if he doesn't, you're going to see a transition. I mean, because it's all about wins here. It's not about – you can't play favoritism. And Cam Newton hasn't looked like the MVP that Cam Newton was at one point in time in quite some time. He looked awful throwing the football. He's coming off the shoulder surgery. Had the foot sprain in the course of the preseason. Re-aggravated that week two. You saw the game plan by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Keep him in the pocket. And we talked about Daniel Jones throwing with anticipation and hitting guys in stride and being accurate with the football. That's exactly what Kyle Allen was yesterday for the Carolina Panthers. Now he was helped out by McCaffrey absolutely dropping the hammer, running the football, and including that long touchdown run from 76 yards out. And he had 153 yards on the ground. So that ground game is certainly going to help out any quarterback. But how could he not be impressed by what Kyle Allen did? But, I mean, long story here, I would say that Newton's going to get an opportunity to play, but only when he's healthy. I mean, I'm not going to force him in there if he's not 100% healthy, and I think that's what Allen showed you, because that was a great performance in Arizona. Now, the Cardinals' defense isn't particularly good, but you give the quarterback credit for playing as well as he did.
Yeah, he made all the throws he was supposed to make, which is more than we can say for Cam in the first two games. And that's what I mean, like, just give Cam a chance to get 100% healthy so there's no excuses coming back.
Yeah, I think he's earned that right all the years, you know, that he's been there and what he's done, the greatness he's had as a Panther. I do think, and Matt, we appreciate the call, I do think you got to give Cam a chance to, you know, we can't just anoint a lot of these young guys as the next Joe Montana here from Daniel Jones, you know, and he was great. Same thing with Kyle Allen. You can't just think, okay, that's it. He had one game. He was amazing. Oh my God. And now we're stopping the presses. And these are the new great young quarterbacks. They're one games.
No,
so,
true. You know. But I think from, you know, for the Panther fan out there, Taz, it is refreshing to see a quarterback to be able to throw the football and throw the football with accuracy.
I agree.
To make throws down the field and to hit guys when they're open. And you have not seen that from Cam. You didn't see it last year where they kept on telling you the shoulder was healthy, 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 and he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn and looked like he looked, you know, in absolute pain trying to throw the football. I'm not stamping Kyle Allen as an absolute superstar in the league, but I mean, Kyle Allen right now gives them a better chance to win than Cam Newton, not 100% healthy. And I do believe that. Now, when Newton is healthy, I think he's going to get an opportunity to play once again. But yesterday, do I think Cam Newton, if you threw him in there and he was able to gut it out with that foot injury, do I think he's thrown for 261 yards and four touchdowns and making some of the throws that Allen made? The one to DJ Moore over the middle where he hit him perfectly in stride and he cut through the secondary and went from the left side of the field to the right side of the field was a thing of beauty. I mean, it was an absolute throw of beauty. I haven't seen Cam Newton make that kind of throw in years.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you. And listen, so for me, okay, I'll pose another question. So a healthy Cam Newton, a healthy, refreshed, makeover, you know, rested Cam Newton compared to Kyle Allen, who are you taking?
No, I'd probably give Cam Newton the
opportunity. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's my only point. But all the points you're making are factually correct.
I don't know if Newton's ever going to be that guy again.
Well, there you go. That's the million-dollar question.
So, I don't know if you're ever going to see that kind of refreshed, invigorated Cam Newton. Yeah. Because we talked about it last week. He looks like he has taken an unbelievable beating. And it looks like those hits have taken a toll on his body to where he's no longer that kind of quarterback. I'm not telling you that Allen's the guy, but I think Ron Rivera, Taz, if you're trying to win football games, you got to also put the guy in there that has the best opportunity to win.
Yeah. No, there's no doubt. Hey, there's a fine line between battle-tested and battle-beaten. Okay, that's a wrestler's thing, and it's true, and it applies to any contact sport. Let's go way out to California, someplace in California, talk to Brandon. Brandon, listening on 1140 AM. Brandon, you're on with Taz and Moose. How's it going?
What's up, buddy?
Well, I bet. Just driving to work, guys. So I want to talk about how, even though the 49ers played sloppy, I thought that they pulled that win out fantastically. I mean, the game-winning touchdown from Garoppolo was on a dime. It was perfect in double coverage. And having five turnovers last year, they would have gotten blown out in that game.
Right.
And I think that their defense stepped up and just completely kicked ass.
They did, and there was an adjustment made. We talked earlier about another game, but in this, the Niners made an adjustment, Brandon, for sure, at halftime, and they made an adjustment, figured Pittsburgh out, were able to put 14 points up in that third quarter. That set the tone for the Niners.
Oh, yeah, definitely, and I think that the way Kyle Shanahan's coaching is really well. I mean, the tempo game is phenomenal.
Oh, it is, and Shanahan showed you to be a very, very good offensive mind and a good head coach out there in San Francisco with the 49ers. listen, you win a game in which you tried to do everything you possibly could as a franchise to give the game away. And Mason Rudolph was not great. Only throws for 174 yards in the game. He did miss some throws they needed to make. Two touchdowns. Did throw an interception. But, you know, there's not many teams that you're going to be able to beat when you turn the football over five times. There's just not.
No, exactly. I mean, maybe... The Dolphins?
Yeah, I mean, they're that right. Could be. I mean, the Dolphins, the Jets, I mean, without Darnold at quarterback, I mean, there's a short list of teams, and I know a lot of people were on Pittsburgh yesterday, plus the points, and they did end up covering that spread as the 49ers came back and won the game 24-20. But that's kind of a gut check victory. You'll take it, Taz. Certainly, if you're a 49er fan, something to build upon. Garoppolo didn't play the cleanest of games. But when he needed to make a throw late to win it, he made the throw and was able to put the two picks earlier on in the game behind him and able to find a way to win the game. But like I mentioned, that's a lot to clean up. You got to take care of the football. Five turnovers in an NFL game, more often than not, I would say 95% of the time you turn the ball over five times. Unless the other team turns it over six, you're going to lose the game.
I agree, especially if you're going against one of the upper-end defenses. You're definitely going to lose the game. Let's go out to Springfield, Missouri, talk to Austin, listen on radio.com. Austin, you're on with Taz and the Moose. What's going on, dude? How you doing? What's going on with this thing? Hold on. There you go. Austin, hold on.
What's up, Austin?
I'm having a problem here. Hold on.
There's something wrong with my guest. Austin, what's going on, brother? How are you doing, buddy?
Here, guys. How are y'all doing this morning?
What's going on?
I just wanted to ask you guys about the Chiefs. You know, the last couple weeks they've been without Tyreek Hill, and their offense is obviously not slowing down one single bit. If anything, I mean, you see the receivers they have, DeMarcus Robinson, Mecole Hardman, and, of course, Travis Kelce. And I know the greatness of Tom Brady and the Patriots, but my question to you guys is, do you think the Chiefs are now the clear-cut favorite to win the AFC, especially with Tyreek Hill coming back here in the near future?
Yeah, I mean, I picked them before the start of the year to get themselves through the AFC. It's hard to say they're the clear-cut favorite. That there's a line, for me anyway, that there's a line between them and the New England Patriots, even without the Pats being without Antonio Brown now, as he got cut from the team over the course of the weekend. So, you know, I don't look at them as that. I think you look at Hardman's an absolute stud, who they loved coming out of it, as did the Jets, and that was the guy the Jets were going to draft in the second round, and the Chiefs ended up getting him. But, I look at it, I still think New England deserves the respect because of the success right. That Belichick has had and the failures that Reed has had as a head coach.
Let me just answer my end, Austin. I would lean a little bit more towards your Chiefs. I'm all in, man. I think that maybe they are the clear cut. Not maybe, they are, in my opinion. They are the clear cut. They're just the weapons. This kid Mahomes is special. And no disrespect on you know, on the Patriots or Belichick or Brady and their greatness. I know that I'm a Patriot hater, don't get me wrong, but I do respect the hell out of them. But I got to tell you, this Chiefs squad for me is the real deal, locked in, and I think they are the best team in the AFC right now.
I mean, I like to believe that. I think their defense definitely needs some work because, you know, they just kept getting beat up by the Ravens at times yesterday. But I think their offense is just so good. It's hard to imagine them not being in the Super Bowl this year. But, of course, I've been saying that for the past several years. But with Patrick Mahomes now, I mean, I think they're headed in the right direction. So I like to believe that they're going to be the favorites to win the AFC this year.
Yeah, I mean, they're not right now the betting favorite because New England's such a public team. But, yeah, I mean, they're right there. 1-2, 2-1, however way you want to look at it. I don't think there's, you know, you can get into the definition of clear cut and not clear cut and everything like that. But the belief in the coaching staff to execute a game plan, come up with a game plan, certainly you favor the Pats more so than the Chiefs. But we'll see. Got a long season. We're only 3 weeks in. Come back. We'll mix it a little Antonio Brown. Another eventful weekend for the Pats. We'll get into that next. It's Taz and Moose on a Monday, CBS Sports Radio.